Hello everyone and welcome back to the Mouth of the Time podcast brought to you by the Shields Gazette. I'm Dominic Skerr, joined as ever by Miles Starforth and Joe Buck to discuss the latest Newcastle United news and big talking points following a fine run of form for Eddie Howe's side. Our last Mouth of the Time podcast, Newcastle, when we spoke, won one of the first seven games, drawn five, lost one. And Miles, it's fair to say a lot can happen in a month.
Yeah, well, look at this month in particular. It's been phenomenal, really. We talked about, we talked about those draws. They're winning games now, and deservedly so. They're even winning games without playing well, which is, as we know, always kind of tends to bode well for a team. So I don't think we could have asked for much more this month.
Yeah, and Joe, Newcastle to take, what is it, 16 points out of a possible 18. Given the start they had, which was a decent start, but nothing spectacular, has it surprised you, or has it been not maybe what you've expected, but what have you made of it?
It's been superb. I think, as we said last time doing this, I think we said that we need to get them a couple of wins to make them early draws, you know, look better than they are, and to go the whole month where the only disappointing game was a 0-0 draw at Man U, where they could have easily got 3 points that day. I think that's, you know, that's a superb month. It's just been really good. I know we'll talk on it, but the performances have warranted the results. We haven't, and as Miles said, we haven't actually played, you know, at our best in any full game, especially. But we've blown teams away. We've dug in when we needed to. It's just been a fantastic month.
Yeah. And after 13 games, Newcastle sitting fourth in the table, 24 points, the best start of the season in over a decade, best defence in the league. Miles, it's still very early in the season, although third of the season played. What's realistic for Newcastle now? Have their expectations changed at all based on what they might have been in pre-season?
Possibly, yes. I think this is something Eddie Howe was interested in the summer, what the expectations on Tyneside were for this season. He was never going to come out and say we're targeting it in Europe, we're targeting it in top six. It was all about improvement for Eddie Howe, but I think he was interested in the kind of where the fans were on this in the summer. My view at the time was the club really should be pushing for sixth or seventh place, with the caveat that if you overachieve or overperform and others underperform, then you can push on a little bit higher, as the team did just, you know, 10 years ago under Alan Pardew when they finished fifth. And I think that sixth, seventh has to be the baseline for this season, certainly. Mm-hmm. And again, it comes down to the World Cup, this unique season. The teams around them in the table are going to have to contend with having many, many more players away at the World Cup. They're going to, you know, a lot of them are going to contend with European games, a clogged fixture schedule. Yes, they've got more, you know, depth in their squads in places, but they've also got that to contend with. So I think there's a real opportunity here for the team to push higher than that kind of, you know, sixth or seventh place finish I kind of felt was achievable in the summer.
Yeah, we've always spoke about being the best of the rest this season, and Eddie Howe's side certainly proven that so far. But Joe, a lot of noise is about, can Newcastle break into that top four maybe a couple of seasons earlier than expected? Do you feel like it's still too early, or have expectations changed and altered slightly?
I think it probably is slightly too early, but as Miles said, this season's like no other. And you never know, there's Liverpool, or, you know, they're stalling a little bit. Chelsea have, you know, still adapting under Graham Potter. Tottenham aren't had a great season. To be fair, if you look at the games we've played against, all the, you know, the top six so far this season, we've matched every single one of them. So if you look on that basis only, then there's no reason why, you know, they shouldn't be able to get fourth. I think being the best of the rest is certainly, Newcastle certainly the best of the rest right now. I think finishing seventh is, as much as you don't want expectations to rise that much, I think if we did finish seventh at the end of the season, I think there would be some disappointment. But I think that's just a testament to how good we are and where we are right now, that we're heading into this World Cup firmly in the picture of the top four. Whether we can sustain that, I'm not sure, because I think there's probably teams who have got the know-how, especially at the end of the season, you know, when the know-how of finishing the top four is. But I'm just going to enjoy, and I think every fan's just going to enjoy the moment right now, because it doesn't happen often, or certainly hasn't happened often in the last 10 years.
Yeah, Miles, a positive we can take from the start Newcastle made is they've done it while not they've had very few games where you can say they've been at absolute full strength. We've had Alexander Isak out for games, Alan Saint-Maximin, Callum Wilson's missed games, Bruno Guimaraes has missed games. These are not just big poor players, these are key players in Eddie Howe's side who they've been without and still managed to pick up results.
Yeah, exactly. It's worth remembering Callum Wilson only just returned at the start of the month. Him, Sam Maximum, Isak more recently. Shelby, we've just seen come off the bench really the last couple of games. So these are big players that they've missing, and they've found ways to win. They found ways to get points. They found ways to get through games without these players, and I think that's a great point.
Yeah, most recently Newcastle wrapped up a very good October with a 4-0 win against Aston Villa. Just a bit on that game, Joe. What did you make of it? It was a slow first half, but hard to fault Newcastle in the second.
Yeah, absolutely. I think the first 30 minutes, 40 minutes or so was probably quite even. I think, Villa did well and nullified were well, but we scored very much the right time. That Wilson penalty sent us in a half-time ahead. That was a big moment. And then second half, we were just ruthless. I think Eddie Howe's talked about that. We have been ruthless in games. You look back at the Brentford game a few weeks ago, even Fulham at the beginning of the month when they went down to, 10 men, but we didn't let that sort of do anything. We just, ruthless, scored four goals, all of them fantastic goals, and it was another great performance. I think against Everton, obviously in the midweek before that, I think they were a little bit nervy, and I think that was probably one of their less impressive performances. But then, they went to Spurs and were fantastic, and then against Villa, it only took a 15-minute spell, but that's all that mattered. They scored four goals, and it could have been six or seven by the end. It really could have.
Yeah, and Miles, Newcastle's form at St James's Park in 2022 as a whole, but certainly this season, it's the longest unbeaten start to a Premier League season at home since the mid-90s under Kevin Keegan. We're going into games now at St James's Park expecting Newcastle to win almost, and they're not only winning, they're blowing teams away. I mean, Brentford 5-1, we saw at the weekend with a 4-0 at Villa as well.
Yeah, it reminds us, what it used to be like. You think back to the kind of Keegan's time as a manager, first time, when Bobby Robson was manager, that expectancy. And this club, when you've got the fans and team all on the same page, really believing in something and striving for something, it's very special. I think we're seeing that at the moment. And obviously it helps the terrific work that War Flags do. The atmosphere's there. And again, something Eddie Howe touched on last season, the team's got to give the crowd something to get behind, and they've been doing that week in, week out, every home game. And that's so powerful, as we've seen in the past few weeks.
Yeah, definitely. And we'd be doing ourselves a disservice if we didn't mention Newcastle's man of the moment, Miguel Almiron. 6 goals in 6 games in October, 7 for the season. He's been a player transformed, really. We saw glimpses of it in pre-season where he scored 6 goals. The big question was, could he transfer that into the Premier League? And Joe, it's fair to say, certainly in October, he's done that.
Absolutely. He's been tremendous. I think it shows what some confidence will do to a player and a team, but especially him. I think all his goals are probably shots he might have taken, this time last year, but they would have probably ballooned over the bar. They would have, gone straight at the keeper. But he's playing fantastically well. And the fact that we're missing Saint-Maximin is, you think then, would the wingers struggle? Would we have failed to have sort of an impact out wide? But Almiron he's been superb. And, he's now pretty much undroppable. I think a lot of them are undroppable, but he's been fantastic. And it's finally glad to see him, hit this type of form, because I think everyone wants him to be a success and everyone has wanted him to be a success for so long. But he always felt like the one that maybe wouldn't make it. Or even in the summer, we could go back and we might have mentioned that if you were going to get rid of one, a couple of players, Almiron is probably in there, because, he wasn't providing them goals and assists, but now he is. It's fantastic. And I'd love to see it. I'd hope he continues for as long as possible, because it's just great to see him out wide doing all them goals, all them assists. It's just brilliant to watch.
Yeah, Miles, as cliched as it sounds, it's not a nice phrase, I suppose, but he has been like a new signing almost this past month for Eddie Howe.
I think he's had to be in a sense, because if you think back to when the transfer window closed in the summer, the one disappointment was that I think the club didn't sign a wide player. You know, the club was looking at players, and it would have been for that on that right side. And again, if you think back at the time, it's early in the season. There was a bit, people questioning this. You know, they should have signed a wide player, and obviously they did. They did attempt to sign one, because and Almer, there were questions about him. Can he play on the right side? He's always coming on his left. Can he be effective on that side? You know, the club's missed a trick because they haven't signed him or whoever. And look how he stepped up. We got a glimpse of it in pre-season. I think back to the Benfica game when he scored two goals out there in that friendly. And he was coming in from the right onto his left. And we've seen that in the past few weeks, that he needed to step up because the club didn't do that in the transfer market. And he really hasn't. And now, had they signed a big name or an established winger, would he be in the team? Probably not. He's been terrific, and it's great because he's always given so much to the team. But it's in terms of his work rate, and we've seen that throughout his career. He's phenomenally presses, he runs, he really carries the team up the pitch. And what's been missing at times, of course, is just the end product, the goals, and we're seeing that now. And I'm delighted for him.
Yeah, and I guess a subject to sort of play down Newcastle's achievements will be the money spent but under the new owners in 2022 so far, over £200 million. But it's the players like Almiron, Joe Linton, Fabian Scher, Callum Wilson even, players who've been at the club before the takeover, have really stepped up and helped Newcastle kick on to the next level almost.
Yeah, the money, of course, it's part of the story. It's a big part of the story of the past 12 months. But there were several strands to this. The most obvious one, it's not all about the money. It's about coaching. It's about the way Howe and his staff have moulded a team. They've shaped the team. They've now got a team which is this fiercely competitive, physical, presses high, supremely fit. And that's making such a big difference on the pitch. Of course, having Guimaraes, makes a difference. Trippier makes a difference. Massive difference these players make. But yeah, you point to these players who they inherited and have improved. And we saw Sean Longstaff. I think we'll come on to talk about him in a bit. His performance last weekend was terrific. So it's kind of lazy to say it's all about the money. Yes, it's helped. But equally, in a sense, it's just addressed some of the underspend of the previous years. Let's not forget the club was making a profit in the transfer window for a lot of years under Mike Ashley. So that's had to be addressed. And if you look at the summer spending table, they were nowhere near the highest spenders in the division. I think it was Chelsea, and that's from a high base where that club has spent fortunes over the years. Newcastle United in those years didn't spend fortunes. They were often making a profit in terms of player trading. So, yeah, it's part of the story, but it's by no means the whole explanation for what we've seen in recent weeks.
Yeah, and Joe, just on Almiron's sort of transformation under Eddie Howe this season, how do you think it compares to someone like Joe Linton, who was sort of almost frozen out last season, a sort of forgotten man, if you like, and then just became Newcastle's player of the season, if you like?
Yeah, it's good to say, but it's, as you said, he's not the only one. You know, you mentioned Joe Linton. Almiron's had this transformation under Eddie Howe. Even Emil Kraft last year, he was, you know, fantastic. And I think it's a testament to Eddie Howe and his coaches and the way he sets up that all these players are getting, you know, almost reinvigorated and in almost a new whole outlook on their footballing career. And that's because of the work that Howe is doing, or it's coached by the scenes. So Almiron has, you know, been fantastic. There's, you know, there were limited aspects of his game, the whole left foot thing, you know, is not very basic, but you can tell what he wants to do. But now he's doing them things and defenders can't stop them. I think back to the Tottenham goal where the defender shows him on his right foot exactly what you want to do as a defender, but he's so quick to get past there and finish off. It's just great to see. And when in a couple of months' time, Almiron, you know, it's very much a purple patch now. It's cool. I don't imagine he'll be scoring in every game between now and March, but no doubt when we're doing this podcast in 6 months' time, there'll be another player who's had a fantastic resurgence in his career, and that'll be because of Eddie Howe again.
Yeah, it's been great to see. And another player who we've always rated here, but Callum Wilson back from injury, 4 goals, 2 assists in 6 games in October. He had to step up, Miles, because Isak was injured, but made a real good impact on his return from injury.
Yeah, and it says a lot about how well he's done that he's now firmly in the conversation for the World Cup. this summer. He's almost been played so well that Gareth Southgate can't ignore him. He's a finisher. He's a leader. He's good in the dressing room. It could have been much like the way Rondon was a few years ago at the club. He's the complete package. He's so intelligent, the way he works, the way he moves, and say inside the box, if there's a chance, you want him on it. It's been brilliant seeing him in his form since he's been back.
Yeah, and Joe, he's in Gareth Southgate's 55-man provisional squad. I mean, it's a massive provisional squad, but would you want him to make the cut, given his injury record, and should he make the cut based on form?
Based on form, absolutely, he should be. He's right up there. Harry Kane, obviously, and then Harry Kane's the top, and then Wilson for me. From a supporter point of view, I'd want Callum Wilson spending a month wrapped in cotton wool back at home, making sure he doesn't get injured. But, you know, he's deserved it. I think we've called a lot of on here that he should be in the England squad, or however many Newcastle players should be in there. But he's definitely deserved it. And it's good to see him hit form at the right time. As we said, Southgate was there at Newcastle on Saturday. He couldn't not witness that performance in Wilson and not include him in the 26-man squad.
Yeah, he's very unlucky not to score a hat-trick. And another player, with almost just rattling off players, but another player who's in his country's provisional squad, Sven Botman, never been capped by Holland at senior level, but in the provisional World Cup squad. 35 million, 22 years old. A lot of expectation on him to deliver at Newcastle when he arrived from Lille in the summer. But it's fair to say he's played, 12 games for the club, yet to lose a game, not wanting to jinx it ahead of the weekend. But he's a Rolls Royce player so far. Miles, what have you made of him?
Yeah, I guess he's exactly what we all hoped he'd be. And, you know, there's been ups and downs for him already. Of course, he pulled out the Dutch under-21 side in September after losing his place for one game. Said he wanted to focus on his club, and he's done that. He's so kind of commanding, calm. He's all those kind of adjectives you want from a centre half. It has been a steep learning curve coming into the Premier League, but he's making it look easy. Such a commanding figure. He's a good foil for Fabian Scher too at the back. They're a good pair. Of course, it's a toss-up between Burn and Botman for that place, as it is Howe's accommodated Burn at left-back. Terrific player. And I think in terms of the Holland question in the World Cup, he's put himself into the conversation as well. If you're a Dutch defender in the defence, which has got the best record in the Premier League, and your team's fourth in the Premier League, you know, that's a lot of strings to his bow already. So... And the fact that he's put himself in firmly into that conversation as well, even though he's never played a senior game, says a lot for how well he's adapted to this move to Premier League football.
Yeah, and Joe, as Miles says, Newcastle best defensive record in the Premier League. What have you made of Sven Botman? Not just him, but Newcastle's defence as a whole so far this season.
Yeah, they've been remarkable. I think you go into games expecting them not to concede, and I think it's more of a shock when they do concede than when they don't. It's all back four. It doesn't matter which set, you know, which lineup it is. It's usually obviously Trippier, Scher, Botman, and Burn, but they've been great, and it's good to see Newcastle have a good defence, because it's been such a long time since we've had a good defence. I think we conceded was 81 goals last calendar year, which you look at that now, it's mental. So they all deserve credit, and to be fair, Howe deserves credit as well, because we haven't got the best defensive record this season by playing defensive football. You know, we don't put 11 men behind the ball and hope. We're so much on the front foot that the defence are, they're rarely getting tested. I think Aston Villa maybe had one shot or no shots on target, the same with Everton a couple of weeks ago. That's just good coaching from the whole team, and the defence with the class they've got. Trippier's world-class player. Botman is going to be a world-class player. The fact he's only 22 is frightening, because he looks like he's been, you know, a top-level defender for the best part of 10 years. So it's really good to see, and it's somewhere that Newcastle can build from the back. You know, they know they've got a strong defence, and that their attacking players can sort of do what they want, because they know that the defence are going to, you know, help them out and make sure they're not conceding two or three goals a game.
Yeah, and whenever you ask a Newcastle defender or even Eddie Howe about the defensive record, the quick to pay tribute to the team effort, like defending from the front, the forwards and midfielders, and one midfielder who has played an important role, Miles, you mentioned him before, Sean Longstaff. He's really managed to sort of tie down a regular starting spot over the past month or so for Newcastle.
And again, he had to. It comes back, you know, like Almiron. Shelby suffered that injury in that Benfica game, and we'd not seen him until very recently. So there was a real need for someone to step up there, and he has. And I think when you think of him, is the phenomenal work he does. Guimaraes gets the headlines. Some of his other teammates as well for the things they do in the final third of the pitch, and then Longstaff almost does the unseen work, which kind of sets that kind of play up. Some of the ugly work, gets around the pitch. He's a big physical presence there, and he can play a pass as well, which we've also seen. At times this season, he can play a final pass in dangerous areas, and it's great to see for him. We know how much he loves the club. He's from the area, and he had an awful time under Steve Bruce. I think that's been well documented. He was in and out of the team. He was out of the team for some time, one season. So he had that awful time under Steve Bruce, and it's great to see him back with that kind of rhythm, which we saw, I think, when he first broke into the team when Rafa was manager. I remember that run, which was brought to an end by an injury in Rafa's final season. He just looks comfortable. He just looks at home, long may that continue.
Yeah. And Joe, do you feel there's sort of a welcome selection dilemma now for Eddie Howe in the midfield with likes of Joe Linton? Okay, he's suspended for the weekend, but Bruno, Sean Longstaff, Joe Willock, and Jonjo Shelvey coming back in as well.
Absolutely. I think that, even a couple of months ago, we were saying Shelvey, as soon as he's fit, should be in this team because we're struggling a little bit for creativity or sort of Shelvey's influence. But now, I don't think Shelvey gets it. If he's, fit enough to play on Saturday, even with Joe Linton's injury, I can't see him displacing any of the three, but it is fantastic to have these options. I think he's got them all over the park, these selection issues, really. So it's great to see, and it's something that Eddie Howe will be happy with, as much as it will, as you say, it will give him a little bit of a headache with the upcoming games, but it is good for him to have it. And even someone like Elliot Anderson, where he, I know he's been injured the last couple, but even he'll be knocking on the door for a start somewhere. So it's good options. And for me, I feel like it doesn't matter who Eddie Howe puts into his team. They know their job, and they're going to give 100%, and they're going to be a very good stand of that. So I'm confident with whatever three he picks on Saturday and for the Chelsea and Palace game that they'll do a good job.
Yeah, and Miles, just on the Southampton game, what are your sort of thoughts and feelings going into that game on the Sunday?
It's another opportunity. Again, Hassan Huttle's under pressure. They've not been performing well, and there's question marks about his future. I think he's the favourite to be the next Premier League manager to go. So, it's another opportunity for this team, and they've been taking those kind of opportunities. And you'd certainly back them to take something from this game, you'd certainly hope it's 3 points.
Yeah, Newcastle haven't had the best record at Southampton in recent years, but they did win the final match before COVID, St. Maximin's going, and did win memorably last season thanks to that Bruno goal. Joe, what are you thinking going into that game at St. Mary's? You're saying confidence is high for Newcastle.
Yeah, absolutely. I think I would be confident going anywhere right now, but especially, as you say, Southampton aren't in the best of form, and I think Newcastle have got that ruthlessness where it doesn't matter what form the other team are in, but especially if they haven't got so much confidence, we saw against Villa and Everton, they'll go and they'll put in performance and hopefully win the game. I think it'll be a test for them. But if they can get 3 points from that, they're going to that Chelsea game with nothing to fear and nothing to worry about with that last game before the World Cup. If they get 3 points this weekend, they're going to be in and around fourth place heading into that World Cup break, which will be fantastic. I think one thing about the Southampton game to note is the whole train strikes. And again, fans, having to get a Southampton on a Sunday for a 2 o'clock kickoff and there's no train. So don't want to bring a downer on these things, but obviously fans again, last ones to be considered. But yeah, it's going to be a great trip.
Yeah, it's certainly a difficult one to get down. I'll be leaving at, I don't know what hour on Sunday morning to try and drive down there. So, yeah, that'll be fun. But, yeah, going into this World Cup break, Miles, Newcastle 8 unbeaten. We've got two big games coming up, of course. But could this break be coming at a bad time almost for Eddie Howe's side?
It could. I think I'll probably speak for you two as well. We just want the games to keep, you know, coming thick and fast, really, and to keep on playing. But you can, again, we've talked about opportunities a lot in this week's podcast. It could again be an opportunity, as we've said, that, you know, the Eddie Howe's not going to have that many players away at the World Cup. Other teams will. They've planned for this break. Eddie Howe spoke about it last week. He was asked that kind of same question. Is it coming at the wrong time? Do you wish you could just play on? And he says, well, quite, you know, answered it quite straight, really. Yeah, we've planned for it, but we'll deal with it. We've got the training camp, we've got the friendly, and then we'll be ready for when the Premier League restarts. So there's a lot to look forward to, hopefully after the World Cup, and maybe it might just help them.
Yeah, and just before we go, Joe, there's also the Crystal Palace game in the League Cup as well to consider. Newcastle close to selling out that game as well, which is very impressive for a midweek November early round League Cup match at that as well.
Yeah, that's another one. That'll be the interesting one. Whether, I know Howe said he wants to concentrate on cups, and we saw a weekend team against Tranmere that obviously got the job done. But I would play the full strength team, you know, get that win, because to get that win in midweek again would just be another thing to, you know, give the club a bounce, and going into that December, the next round in December, that the club can actually feel that this is, you know, a real big competition, and we've got a real good chance of going far in it. You know, as we stand now, we are the fourth best team in that draw, so no one will want to play it with. You know, Palace won't want to be coming to Newcastle on that day. No one, if we win, no one will want to draw us in the next round. So, you know, that's another one I'm really looking forward to.
Yeah, and if Newcastle were to get through that, the next round in the Carabao Cup would be their first game back after the World Cup break. So, yeah, on that note, we'll wrap things up there. Miles will be at Eddie Howe's pre-match press conference on Friday, and we'll be down at Southampton on Sunday, so you can catch all the updates and reaction from there and more over on the Shields Gazette website. You can also subscribe to the Shields Gazette for unlimited ad-like access to all of our Newcastle United coverage. Just head over to shieldsgazette.com/subscriptions for more information on that. But Miles, Joe, as always, it's been a pleasure, and thank you everyone for joining us on this week's Mouth of the Time podcast. Cheers.